You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. In a few weeks, when recreational marijuana becomes legal in California, it'll legitimately become one of the state's top crops, up there with grapes, almonds, and milk. And like most agriculture, cannabis plants need a lot of water to grow. Some researchers estimate each plant consumes an average of 6 gallons of water a day. And in many cases, growers take that water from streams and creeks. But because the industry has been so unregulated in the past, cannabis's true impact on vulnerable ecosystems is not clear. With legalization on the horizon, scientists are trying to document the thirsty plant's effect on watersheds and make rules so that growers don't drain creeks dry. KALW's environment reporter, Angela Johnston, has more.
Ben Durkee is a true Trinity local. He's lived and worked in the Northern California county for his entire life.
I grew up on a little creek on Ransom Road in Weaverville. We always called the creek the Wrong Creek because we had a two-house little dirt road that was labeled the Wrong Road.
He remembers swimming there, splashing around with his friends, and watching his neighbors tend to their bountiful fruit and vegetable garden with water from the creek. But Durkee says for the past decade, things on Wrong Creek haven't been quite right.
It's been a dry riverbed for over 10 years now, and it's probably never going to come back, which is just really sad.
Durkee works at a fishing lodge, which caters to visitors casting their lines in the Trinity River watershed.
If there's no water for people to fish, if there are no fish, my job doesn't exist.
Like many people up here, Durkee blames one group for the loss of his childhood creek.
Marijuana farmers damming up local creeks that are used as a primary water source for residences, effectively stealing that water for their own gain.
There are thousands of cannabis farms in Trinity County, so if you buy marijuana in California, there's a good chance it's grown here. And it's where you'll likely find water detective Brian McFadden, up to his waist in freezing cold water, doing what he dubs forensic hydrology, investigating Durkee's concerns. McFadden works for the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. A few years ago, locals approached him wanting to know why their creeks were drying up. To find out, McFadden and his team monitor the water flow at more than 30 locations up and down the Trinity watershed.
A lot of people feel like taking an extreme amount of water. I don't know that that's the case, but that's part of why we're doing this project, be able to shed light on that.
First, McFadden stretches a long tape measure across the width of the creek. Then he sticks a metal pole into the water. It's called a flow tracker, and it has a computer at the top and an acoustic sensor at the bottom.
So we'll do 16 verticals.
Okay.
Every half foot.
Perfect.
McFadden inches it along the tape measure, recording the water's velocity and depth at different increments across the creek.
10.7, depth is 0.8.
Those measurements, plus a little math, tell him exactly how much water is moving by. The flow.
Negative 0.17. Sorry.
McFadden compares these numbers with the amount of water that historically flows through the creeks at the same time of year. And although his team hasn't published their final report yet, it's easy to tell where there are some big, big changes. Back in the car, McFadden shows me some graphs.
Where's that chart? So this isn't going to work for your radio audience.
In some spots this year, the flow levels plummeted. Someone, he says, emptied the creek quickly.
We can say, oh, God, there's something going on there. And basically what we see is right around the end of July, you know, somebody turned on a pump is what it looks like, shut it off, turned it back on, and basically flatlined the stream. It was to the point where we couldn't really measure it. It was so low.
Just a thin film of water on the top. In other places around the watershed, it's worse.
So where are we headed right now?
Right now, we're going to Post Creek.
Post Creek is downstream from Trinity Pines, an extremely concentrated subdivision of cannabis farms packed on top of each other into the hillsides.
Yeah, you can see that was his patch, and he's harvested most of it.
You can see it from Google Earth, hundreds of beige pockmarks dotting the green landscape. Zoom in closer, rows and rows of plants.
And it is everywhere. You can see that they've, in some cases, built terraces into the hillsides to make room for the plants.
What you can't see from our car, you can smell.
Yeah, I would estimate we've driven past a few thousand marijuana plants in just the last few minutes. And I would imagine it's a lot more than 1,000 plants that are back there.
Not everyone here takes water directly from the creek, but the past two summers, Post Creek dried up.
Gives you a sense of the scale of the issue, though.
The implications are also huge and far-reaching. After a day of monitoring, McFadden and I sit along the bank of the Trinity River and watch a fly fisherman cast his line into the water. A Chinook salmon slowly swims by our feet.
He and his kin are a big part of what we're trying to protect. At one time, there were really large runs of fish like this fish we're looking at that fed a lot of families, and that isn't the case anymore. We sure like to turn that around.
Photographs, water rights records, and data from the Water Board's cannabis permitting program show it isn't only marijuana farmers diverting water from these habitats. Traditional agriculture and homes use just as much water in the Trinity region. But McFadden says cannabis use is incredibly hard to monitor and to correct.
I mean, we see some really egregious things, too, where people just build their roads in the stream and things that we hadn't seen since the logging days of the 60s.
McFadden hopes his team's data will help right these wrongs. The Water Board's already understaffed enforcement unit can use info about the most vulnerable streams to decide which water guzzlers they should patrol first. And he hopes it'll encourage growers to get with the programs. If you want to grow recreational cannabis legally next year, you'll need to get permits with the Water Board, Fish and Wildlife, and the county. And depending on what you're growing for, you'll probably need one or more state permits, too.
If they stay in the cannabis economy and they abide by the regulatory programs that are out there that are designed to protect the environment, then over time, I think those things will get fixed.
But so far, Water Board enrollment numbers are on the low side. Getting your grow up to code costs a lot of money. Many farmers find it cheaper to stay under the radar or just leave the business completely and leave their mess behind, too. Right now, McFadden says it's ultimately up to the consumer to ask where their marijuana comes from.
You should ask the question, and you should be interested if you're a cannabis user, because market opinions matter. People don't want to buy marijuana that's grown with water that is impacting the environment. Then I think cultivators will respond. If they're not able to sell it for as high a price as otherwise, that's going to get their attention.
Down in Sonoma County, farmer Mike Benziger says that's what his customers value.
More and more, you know, my customers are younger people who really understand that the environment is in trouble and that their kids and maybe their grandkids are going to be paying for the bad actors in the past.
You want a quick tour?
Yeah, how about, I have a couple questions.
Benziger grows his 50 cannabis plants alongside persimmon trees, Swiss chard, eggplants, and other colorful fruit and veggies.
It's a little banana belt. The sun always shines here. The birds always tweet. You know, it's a little bit like La La Land. It's perfect.
His crops overlook the winery he used to own with his siblings. It's where he started experimenting with biodynamic farming.
Taste how tender that is.
So good.
Yeah.
It's a process that focuses on cultivating really healthy soil, so farmers don't have to use as many other resources.
Boy, that smells good. Think of biodynamics as the most advanced form of organic farming.
When Benziger was diagnosed with cancer in 2010, he and his wife wanted a change. So they left the winery and started growing produce and three types of medicinal cannabis. When I visit, Benziger has harvested all of it. He's drying and trimming the buds in the barn behind his house. But he stops to show me their empty beds.
We grow a sativa called Tangy. We grow a hybrid called Girl Scout Cookies. And then we grow an indica called Bubba Kush.
One of the things he's most proud of is how little water he uses. That's because he staked soil moisture probes next to the plants.
So we're not just watering by formula, and we're not just watering from the seat of our pants, but we're watering because we're measuring, and we know what the plants need. We know where the roots are, so we can hold the water back until the last second.
Remember water detective Brian McFadden? Research he's done shows that many cannabis farmers water their plants with up to 6 gallons of water a day. With these moisture meters, Benzinger cut that to under 2 gallons.
We can water only when the plant wants it, not when the farmer thinks it.
Benzinger also waters his cannabis and all his other crops with recycled water. He captures it from the roofs and stores it in giant green rain barrels.
You see the big tank there. I have 20,000 gallons of storage there, and then another 5,000 gallons of storage up top.
This technology makes it easy for him to comply with new environmental regulations. Benzinger installed this system years ago, not anticipating that starting in 2018, most cannabis growers in Sonoma County must use recycled water. Indoor growers will have to use 100% renewable energy. Benzinger's got that covered, too. A large plot of solar panels powers his small indoor operation. While he says they're scalable at any size farm, he knows they're not cheap.
Well, it's let me put it this way. The expense is usually in building the infrastructure up front.
Now they spend less on water, soil, and power. But Benzinger says it cost him $50,000 to install his recycled water system. A high price for a small operation. He thinks this is the reason why few growers have signed up for permits, only 127. He says there could be as many as 8,000 farms in Sonoma County.
So what's going to happen? You know, they're not going to go away. And it seems like some of these ordinances are so onerous that they're just driving the growers deeper into the woods, unfortunately.
He thinks there should be more flexible regulations. And farmers with water-saving or composting systems should get tax breaks, rewards for growing with care. That will help protect the watershed. And he says that's what's going to produce better marijuana, too. In Glen Ellen, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.